Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
He's Garrett Price.
How's it going?
Rocking that Browns glass.
That's right.
He's Jared Wackerly, hidden in the corner because we only put the handsomest people on the screens.
Look what at that.
Rich was totally back this week with the, and remember last week?
Oh, yeah. I know. Did you see him grab that mic and just freaking
confident.
Own it?
This ain't no mother P.
I was dying last week.
I know you were.
I feel better this week. Even though, like, today I've been so busy.
The whole second show is just like.
I would say, I kind of want to watch footage from the second show.
He just, like, stopped talking.
Yes. He was just, like,
it's on YouTube.
Dude, I thought it was going to.
It's on YouTube.
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Like, that morning I started feeling a little bit better. And then I did that show.
Oh, yeah. I had two free shows now.
Dude, by the second show, like, I was. And I felt worse the next day because of all the energy I put into it.
Yeah, you're up late.
I was sick for, like, a week, man. It's unbelievable.
Terrible. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, drinking will do that too.
Terrible, terrible.
I'm back, baby. Talking Dynasty, and we're covering the 2024 headlines. Like, going into the 2024, like, what are some of the headlines?
Things that we need to think about in Dynasty.
Burped. Rich, hold on. Didn't you say you never get hungover?
I don't get hungover.
he was legitimately
it
sick.
It counts.
I had a cold, dude.
Eh. Yeah.
I wasn't hungover. I had a cold. My throat would hurt. That's all it was. I couldn't talk. I had a cough and hungover.
Eh.
They are
when you similar. Get when you got syphilis, did I tell you you're hungover? I never told you you're hungover.
I was drinking.
I told you that in confidence.
Sorry, your hair's falling out.
Is your hair falling out?
No more tummy sticks for you.
Dude, yeah. You know the whole European wig thing? Like they all had the big white wigs? It's because they all had syphilis. And they had to hide their heads.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and your like skin starts to get fall out and stuff. Yeah, your hair falls out. And you get all these like blotches on your hair.
Wow.
Yeah, so the whole European movement, why they wore those big white wigs is because they all had syphilis.
So like George Washington, syphilis.
George Washington, I thought, wasn't his hair real?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I thought so.
I never met him.
Mm. Yeah.
He didn't wear a wig. He just had that.
Wooden teeth? Real. That was fake, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Wooden teeth.
He had like, I think he had pig's teeth and stuff though. Like
or he had
like,
fake teeth, not fake wooden teeth.
He had a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
Anyway, 2024 headlines.
He was like 6'4", and he was also like one of the richest Americans of all time.
Yeah. He would fit in today's society.
Mm-hmm. Arguably the greatest president of all time, George Washington.
He said it.
Inarguably the first.
Abraham Lincoln was pretty good.
Boom.
I mean, he did a couple good things. Hey, Dynasty Nerds. It's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Who's up there? So we want to talk about... Some of these coincide with NFL headlines. Some of these don't because we just care about what this means for Dynasty. So we're going to go through
Tay-Tay.
I mean, that is a headline.
Kim Kardashian.
That is a headline. Yeah. So let's get to arguably both one of the biggest dynasty discussions, but it's also a huge one in the NFL right now.
What to do with Travis Kelce and Tay-Tay?
I mean, that is kind of in here, low key.
Is it?
Number nine.
I barely read
this. Number nine.
Taking the show off the road.
Number nine.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. It is an afterthought on that one.
Yeah. Okay. But the number one question right now, who do the Bears go with at quarterback? Do they draft Caleb Williams? Do they not? Do they stick with Justin Fields? Ooh. And ultimately, what does this mean for the Bears organization? Yeah. And what does this mean for potentially Justin Fields being on another team? So how does this whole thing shake out?
Yeah, it's confusing. I won't sit here and say anything as a fact.
Where are those crystal balls, man?
There they are.
That's it. You're mouthing it like we're not on video.
I know. I forgot we're on video because usually at our second show, we're not.
Alcatraz.
Jared. And Jared's going, what?
No, put your pants back on.
Those are some big balls.
Gervy, my Gervy.
He's like holding both hands out like he's juggling titties or something.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Any hands, but he got a mouth. Man.
So if you're not first or last. Go ahead, Rich.
If I'm the GM of the Bears, I'm definitely putting out there to see what my return is on the 1-1. I have to do the due diligence there. Because when I look at Justin Fields, and I do like his upside a ton, and I like the idea of like getting a lot of draft capital, put an actual offensive line around him. And they have some really good upside offensive line players there. They were hurt this year, so the offensive line wasn't good this year because a lot of those guys were hurt and had some good rookies there. But they used some of that capital there and to build around him and definitely add another good receiver to him so you don't have to throw to Turnfergs all day. But you know, the facts are, you know, Justin Fields does hold on the ball a little bit longer than he should. His 11-28 record. He's been banged up here and there. In his third year already, he's only averaging 200 passing yards a game. And you have a chance to probably get potentially what some consider a generational quarterback and a guy like Caleb Williams or even potentially Drake May. We'll see how this all pans out. So, and you would probably get a second round pick back for Justin Fields. So it's not like you're not going to get anything there. And they also have the number 9 overall pick as well. But to come away with even more draft capital and have all those guys on rookie contracts with all those shots in the barrel, it does give you opportunity to build a super team.
Mm-hmm.
But all teams are revolved around the quarterback. You know, like if you don't have Joe Flacco, you're not going anywhere. So for me, what do I think is going to happen? I think they end up right now, as of today, January 9th, I think they end up trading Justin Fields and drafting Caleb Williams.
Okay.
If I'm the GM, I would love to find a way to possibly keep Justin Fields and build around him. But that rookie contract, re-sign it for three years, is kind of hard to pass up as well. And they already do have a lot of draft capital. So it's tough to go either way. But I would lean today they draft the quarterback.
This one's so multi-layered and difficult, right?
Because,
I mean, they made some moves. They solidified their defense, right? The defense is, I think, headed in the right direction.
It greatly improved over the second half of the season.
Right. And now they have extra high draft capital, right? And a quarterback that's, at times, looked like the part.
Mm-hmm.
At times, he doesn't. Sure. So what do you do with that as a general manager? Do you just say, hey, this is our guy. I think I've seen flashes, enough flash. Or as a good GM, do you dive into the players that are coming in and kind of evaluate them versus who you have? I think that's what you have to do.
You have to do that.
And I don't know that they're – I haven't dove in to these guys enough to make this informed decision. I think this will crystallize in the next few weeks for us while we start kind of doing this, going through our processes. But from what I've seen of Justin Fields, I think it would be hard to pass up hitting the reset button on the rookie contract. But at the same time, the defense might be good enough to win. So if you can get some pieces around Justin Fields, and if you think Justin Fields is the guy, I think you stay with him. So right now I'm very much on the fence. I'm still in kind of la-la land with this.
And one other layer to add to this is it's not only who are you taking, It's who you're passing up to. Right. And that's potentially Marvin Harrison Jr., who could be an all-world receiver. So you have the financials,
yeah,
which are definitely part of it. But you also have the total makeup of the team. And when are you going to find a player at the wide receiver position of that caliber? Probably never.
Right.
So there
is
there,
where is their second pick? It's
their second pick's at nine.
Nine, okay.
So they're not getting him
back quite a bit.
But yeah, they could get a Malik Nabers there. Maybe yeah, they could get, you know.
I would love to.
Who has declared by the way officially yeah, Malik Nabers? Yep.
I would love to find a way to get, because I think they're going to be terrible next year as well. I would love to find a way for New England to move from 3 to 1. And hey, just give me, like, not even be overly greedy if I can. It's like, hey, give me your first, give me your third this year, and give me your first next year. Cause I think they're gonna have a high first next year as well. Cause I would want to make sure I got Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
And then I'll use that 1-9 on the best offensive tackle or, you know, the player that I can get there. So then I have 2 firsts going next year, probably another high first. Have Justin Fields with a receiver he does have familiarity with. Go with Cole Kmet and DJ Moore. You get another offensive tackle to go with your, or offensive lineman to go with the offensive line you have. That's a good offense to go with that good defense.
It's a great offense.
Out the bat. And if you feel like Justin Fields is going to take you where you need to go there, with all, where you're going to pay the quarterback, you'll be diversified elsewhere with so many rookie contracts of talent. And you have a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. you're paying for 5 years on a rookie deal as well.
So I think that's a dream scenario, right? If they do decide to do that, I think that's a dream scenario. In that dream scenario, what do you do with a guy like DJ Moore, who I just said is the most improved player from a year before? If he does get an alpha dog, a true alpha dog wide receiver along with him, how do you guys treat him, in Dynasty?
I think it becomes what we've seen from a lot of teams lately with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. One guy will emerge as probably the alpha player. Probably first year, it'll probably still be DJ Moore, but obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. will take that pretty quick. But you know, it's worked for a lot of teams. I don't think they would hesitate as much doing that as much as they would used to. And for fantasy purposes, I think I would still like, maybe it's a slight nick, but it goes from a wide receiver 1 to wide receiver 16 for me or something like that.
So let's just say this scenario plays out the way you guys just said it. They get another high draft pick next year, and maybe they stink also for another year, and Justin Fields isn't the guy. In this scenario, they have their pick next year, which theoretically will be high, and possibly New England's, which also could set up to be quite high as well. Have you guys, this is a Jared and Garrett question, is next year's draft class, have you guys looked ahead to that at all?
A little bit.
I mean, Quinn Ewers is going to be there, right? I mean,
Ewers and Shedeur Sanders are two of like the biggest names in next year's class.
Because I feel like these are conversations that they're having within that building. They have to have these kind of conversations before they make any sort of move, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. Potentially, depending on what McCarthy does.
Okay.
He's another one that could be in next year's class, too.
There isn't really a guy, like a or guys.
Drew Aller is like one of the bigger names, but. Yeah.
But you're not passing up a Caleb Williams, you know.
Right now, it doesn't look like there's a Caleb Williams.
Or Drake May.
Correct. Caleb Williams or Drake May. There are guys that come out, obviously, every year kind of out of the blue to surprise and
for sure. Joe Burrow did it. Yeah, there's plenty of guys that do that. But
So it's possible, but you can only deal with what you know right now.
Right, right.
I was just curious.
I got to ask you guys about that Quinshon Judkins kid.
Okay, that just committed to Ohio State.
We'll do it off at the air, though. Because as a dude, should they get here, I got to ask him if he really is that good.
Yeah.
I think there's two or three film cut-ups of him on our film room. You can check those out. But, I mean, he's damn good. I mean, he's probably the best SEC running back past year, even maybe his freshman year, too.
So he's pretty good. Ohio State.
He's pretty good.
He's a physical guy.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Henderson now. That definitely makes me lean towards he's probably coming out.
I don't make it assume. As soon as he said, I'm going there, that they knew Travion was coming out.
That's what I'm guessing. That's
a great boost.
That's what I would assume.
There's no way he goes there if Travion Henderson's going back.
I wouldn't think so, but you never know.
So what do you think about Chicago? What's your...
So I do want to bring up this scenario too and talk about this, because I do want to talk about how do we feel about Justin Fields if he's not with Chicago? Mm. What if he gets traded?
Sure.
You know, how do we feel about him as a, you know, potential buy or sell on either side of this right now? How much risk are we willing to take? Do we think there's much risk? There's a lot of conversation, because to me, in my head, If he stays in Chicago, obviously we know roughly what we're getting. He's shown that he can be a top five or six type of quarterback when healthy. He has been banged up a little bit, which does concern me. But when healthy, he's been baller. He's been absolutely awesome. If you go somewhere else, that adds in a layer of complexity. You don't know exactly how that's going to play out. But I would have to imagine in my mind, most of the teams, maybe not all of them, but most of the teams that are going to pay for him are probably feeling like they're a quarterback away. You know, an Atlanta team comes to mind. A Minnesota team comes to mind.
Dream scenario is that he would go to Atlanta with Mike Vrabel as head coach.
Are you going out to acquire him as the last piece? Has he proven that he can be that last piece? I feel like he is, if he's getting traded, he's almost a guy that.
It could go either way. Yeah. It could, but.
I'm on my second chance. He's in that pile, I'm here to save your franchise.
To me, most of the guys that are lower end, they're just going to draft somebody.
Yeah.
Like, why bring Justin Fields in when I have the chance to just draft, you know, what, May or Penix?
Maybe you do it if you miss out on one of those guys.
Maybe that is a possibility.
You know what I mean? Some of the teens are a little bit later.
It's definitely possible that, you know, out of the blue, the Tennessee Titans decide that they want to trade for him because whoever the new coaches loves him. In the realm of possibility.
If he goes to Atlanta, then you could say he's arguably in a better situation.
You could.
He goes to Tennessee, then he's in a worse situation.
Right. So there is some risk here involved in this. So I was curious of your guys' thoughts on if you're doing a startup today, do you still take Justin Fields in the same spot that you would have otherwise? Do you factor in that risk of him going to a different team? It's one of the most up in the air situations that's really, really hard to nail down.
He was, before the season, he was going where? Top.
He was going
top eight quarterbacks off the board, right?
Yeah, he in the first round typically.
Where were you asking? What month?
Like beginning of the season. I mean, he was back half of the first round.
He was top eight, QB10.
Yeah. Okay.
QB10. All right. So would have slid mid-second. Into the second round then?
Mid second.
Okay.
Around Dak and Tua.
I mean, are you asking is he still there?
Yeah. Would you still draft him in the middle of the second now?
Absolutely not. There's too much going on.
It just depends who else is on. Depends on the quarterback run, right?
Where was a guy that we were talking about last year, Purdy? Where was he going at the beginning of the season? He had been going late,
way late, way late.
Definitely taking Purdy.
I think the point is some of those guys maybe that
August Purdy was mid third QB14.
Okay, but back in June, May, he was in the eighth, ninth.
Some of those guys, I think, have jumped him. So naturally,
sure, Stroud, Stroud jumped him.
Absolutely, some of those guys are going to naturally.
Jordan Love jumped him.
Yeah.
Ooh, not for me.
No,
you would take Jordan Love ahead of QB Justin Fields,
six or seven or something on the season.
I think so. Yeah, I think I would. Jordan Love looks absolutely fantastic. He finished quarterback five on a year. He's got a young receiver course. So on the ball, people are sitting here jumping up and down about the ball placement of CJ Stroud. These last 5-6 weeks, Jordan Love's ball placements and balls have been absolutely tremendous. Alcatraz balls. Jordan Love, he took a massive jump in my rankings. Like, I moved up a lot in my Superflex rankings. I feel very comfortable taking Jordan Love in the second round of a Superflex league ahead of a lot of these guys. Let me put it this way. I feel just as good about Jordan Love as I do about Tua. If not even slightly better, to be honest with you. Who would you rather have, Jordan Love or Trevor Lawrence? I'd still lean Trevor Lawrence, but that's what you're talking about. Love has looked terrific.
That's based less off of things you've seen and more off of past biases, right? Taking Trevor Lawrence above Love.
Yeah, to be fair, looking back at some of Trevor Lawrence's tape, somebody put a good tweet out, who was? I wish I gave him credit, but of how close Trevor Lawrence was to scoring so many more points for touchdowns. Like, how many of his balls were receivers just didn't get a foot down or something along those lines. So, Trevor Lawrence is definitely taking a step back.
Every quarterback. Every quarterback long-term misses out on a lot of stuff.
But for me, for Jordan Love, he's a young quarterback I believe in who's got all his weapons that he's going to be building. Wicks has looked good. Dubs look good. Watson's look good. Jaden Reed's look good. We haven't seen Luke Musgrave yet. So, he's got five weapons in there that he gets to work with for a long term. Yep. His, again, he has looked fantastic. And he's going to get a long-term deal here next year because he's on 1 year. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, that I would try and lock him up this year because those deals only get more expensive, and it's probably the cheapest you'll be able to get him. Probably. I have no problem extending that deal, making a five-year deal. And if it's, say, it's $20 million guaranteed next year, give him $100 million guaranteed. Yeah. You know, something on those lines. I think he's looked tremendous.
I think he's proven that he's their guy.
Yeah, so for me, him coming in on a year that we were somewhat questioned about, we didn't know the receiving corps, finished as quarterback five this year, his first year in the offense, 100%. Like, I high in the second round. Like, he's in that room. Like, you had the couple receivers like CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson. But I would take Jordan Love in a Superflex startup over every single running back.
So
over Bijan, over Breece. Yeah. I would take Jordan Love over all those guys. Every tight end, that's the real. That's how high he's jumped for me.
I'm looking at December ADP for the nerd ADP that we have on the spreadsheet, and Love is at QB 16, which is like back into the fourth. So
that's from what?
That's from December. I mean, so
that's a huge value.
Way too low.
I would assume January is going to be higher since he's played well in December.
Yeah. I would give up. I would, like, if I had to give up. I'm trying to think here, like, on top of two first for Jordan Love and a Superflex, like, what kind of player value, like a Baker Mayfield, possibly. I feel like that's a little much. At the same time, with those two first, you might want to just roll with Baker.
QB10.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of, like, a quarterback, like, in that realm, like, Jordan Love or Kyler Murray. You know, I would take Jordan Love over Kyler Murray.
Jordan Love or Deshaun Watson.
I think you're going to get a lot more.
Jordan Love.
Yeah, Jordan Love, for sure.
Easily.
I think you're going to get a lot more consistent play out of a guy like Jordan Love.
Yeah,
I mean, Jordan Love or Dak.
Dak.
That's
close because
it's the age.
It's and that matters when you're getting quarterback. Because you're talking, if you can get 12 years, that's I can't. I say on the podcast all the time when people say, "Oh, 2 years." Like, how long 2 years is in playing dynasty? Like, oh, I got 2 years left. Like. That's two seasons, back-to-back ships. Like, that's legend
mode. Dak's 30, Love's 25.
I mean, how many people listen haven't even been in a dynasty league for 10 years?
I would say easily half.
Yeah, we've been in a league for going on 19 years together. I have a league that's going in, like, year 12. I mean, shit, dude, some of the original Nerd Herd leagues are going in year, somebody asked the other day, in 2.0, Nerd Herd 2.0 is going in year 7.
Wow.
The original Nerd Herd league is going in, like, year 8 or 9. So even those leagues, like, that's why people love the Nerd Leagues, because they're so consistent. Like, there's no turnover. They're always forever. So, like, people, like, to have that in your back pocket. I talk about how I had Drew Brees as my quarterback for 15 years. And he was my starting quarterback on my team, who I put in there every single week for 15 years.
How nice is that to not even have to worry?
Invaluable. Yeah. Like, it helps you build so much, because you don't have to, it's a position you don't have to worry. Like, it's not just... You don't think about it like when you play Dynasty, like, oh, like I get to start this player for 15 years or 10 years. Let's go like for 10 years, how that's invaluable in its own right. It's also invaluable because now you get to go elsewhere in your rookie drafts to go and grab, like, oh, I don't need to grab this quarterback here when there's this tier. I can grab this player. And you can keep shooting your shot at those tight ends and those receivers and those running backs because that position is filled for 10 years. Now, you always say the best player available, but when you're in a tier and you're going which way, like right now, if you have Bijan Robinson and Breece Young or Breece Hall, then you can go a different way when that tier is close. You can go to the receiver, or maybe you can grab the Sam Laporta instead of grabbing the Devon Achane. You know what I mean? Which are both great players, but now you locked up a premium one there. Sure. So for me, getting a guy like Jordan Love and getting those little extra years on top of Dak, it does hold weight in my eyes when they're close. And I know Dak finished as quarterback 3 overall, but when you're talking about a points per game where Dak Prescott scoring 20.7 and Jordan Love is scoring 19.4, that's way more important to me than where they're finishing, right? Like, where they're getting points per game. So when you're talking 0.6 points or 0.7 points, but I get more on top of that, or even give me...
Wasn't it 1.3 though?
1.3.
Yeah.
But you're giving me 7 years on top of that. Sure. That tips the scales for me. So Jordan Love, to me, if people are valuing him as quarterback 16, is one of the best super flex buys you could possibly buy.
Sure.
Maybe what's an overpay today is an underpay tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty GM, pretty. You use the analyzer, that you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you can get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You'll have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate
set. All right, let's get into the next one here. Headline, this one is more of a Dynasty headline, not necessarily a NFL headline. And NFL headline? Eh? That's always a weird one to me because yeah.
Whenever
the sound
whenever, yeah, would say an A, but it's an abbreviation, and I always put an in front of abbreviation. Like, this is my pick, or an MVP candidate. MVP.
Yeah, well, an N is like an E sound. Yeah. So it sounds like it should be in. Anyway, all that to be said, let's talk about running back twos that performed at the end of the season pretty darn well, or throughout the season pretty darn well. So what are we doing with some of these guys that were looked at as backup running backs, but showed us a little bit of something?
When you say RB2, you're talking about backup running backs, right?
Right. Yeah. Actual backup running backs in the NFL. But they emerged at some point during the season. So guys like Ty Chandler, Zamir White, Tyjae Spears, Jalen Warren, Chuba Hubbard, Zach Charbonnet, guys like stick to those ones specifically. Chase Brown's.
I am going to pick one of them to be my breakout candidate, and then he's going to be on my list of biggest disappointments next year.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. That's a good idea.
How about that?
How about Chuba? Stick with the same team.
No.
Oh, okay.
That one hurts too much. Thank you very much. I'll be going with Zamir White. I already know it.
Oh, okay. There you go. Done.
On that list, there's one guy I absolutely love. And there's one guy I like a lot.
Okay.
The rest to me are all just whatever they were this year. Like Jalen Warren, running back 22 on the year in PPR leagues. Like, okay.
Good to have on your roster. Yeah.
That's good to have, but he's not the starter, right? He's never going to be a starter in my eyes.
Okay.
Yeah. Chuba Hubbard, he got named starter week 9. Mm-hmm. Wasn't even a running back 2 the rest of the way. Zach Charbonnet, unfortunately, stuck behind Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker, like I've said, since the draft day.
More talented.
Mm-hmm. Chase Brown will probably have an opportunity next year unless Joe Mixon can rework his contract again. And Joe Mixon has looked terrific.
He's played really well.
The back end of the draft. He looked more explosive.
And they could even draft somebody too still.
And they could. But Chase Brown looked better than I thought he would.
Chase Brown has broken off some pretty explosive plays.
He did.
Yeah.
And I say it was terrible. So, but to be fair, got to me when he had to get short yardage at the goal line. I said,
"Yeah, he's not a true 3-down back. I don't think he ever will be.
No,
I think he's going to
he's a Jalen Warren.
Yeah, he's a guy. He's the Tony Pollard to a Zeke. He's that type of guy.
Same thing. Ty Chandler, he's better served as a backup running back.
Good player, flashy stuff.
I liked Ty Chandler a decent amount from what I saw. I was
not bad.
he's one of the guys on the list here that, even though I was a Zamir White guy, if I had to choose between the two of them, I actually liked what I saw out of Ty a little bit more than I liked out of Zamir.
The clear-cut guy here.
There's one clear-cut guy, yeah.
Who is...
We're tiptoeing. You guys are just dancing around this guy.
Is one that the community lashed out at us for.
Lashed.
A lot of bad comments.
How many touchdowns did he score this past week?
Two, all of them. I don't know. He looked fantastic. I think he had two touchdowns.
Well, it was two. And, you know, immediately after the NFL draft, we did an immediate mock draft at the cabin. Mm-hmm. And
we took him in the first round.
We had Tajay Spears in the first round, and we got a lot of bad feedback. And we're like, okay, guys, it is what it is. We still like him. We still like his tape. And here we are. I think Tajay Spears is worth a first round pick.
I think he absolutely was. He was much better than Kendrick Miller.
Year, he's worth a first round pick.
He was, yeah. Oh yeah, and yeah. If you wanted to trade him for a first, I have done that.
He's looked so good.
He has. He's looked really good in his opportunities. Always made the most of them. He does things in the receiving game. He does things in the running game. And honestly, the Mike Vrabel, I don't know if it was a firing or, you know, what it was exactly. They parted ways.
It was a firing.
Regardless of how it happened, that makes me feel good and bad in a way for the future of Tajay Spears. In one sense, you're always a little nervous when there's a new head coach.
Sure.
You never know who's going to be their guy, who's not going to be their guy.
Third round draft capital.
Sure.
From a running back. Who knows?
But on the flip side, that also makes it seem incredibly less likely that Derrick Henry comes back and signs a one-year deal.
He said goodbye
for this
in
team.
The stadium.
He did.
He said goodbye. You don't say goodbye.
You don't.
And come back.
No. So I think he is going to be the guy that has the first crack of the first opportunity at the shop, unless they go out and draft Henderson or something stupid like that.
Doing it. They have
so many holes to fill.
That offensive line is abysmal. That secondary is abysmal. They have a lot of work to do there. I cannot believe they got rid of Mike Vrabel.
I hope he goes
top
to Columbus.
10.
Me too.
Oh my gosh.
I literally called Jared right after I saw it. I was like, dude, next Ohio State coach, right?
Yes.
No. He's not going to Columbus because he's the number one. He's going to be the number one wanted NFL head coach. Number one. Or Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson's
top four running backs in our nerd score last year. Bijan, Gibbs, Achan, Spears.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good group.
Yeah. That's how I had it ranked. I had it Bijan, Gibbs,
pretty good this year.
Achan, Spears. And I was like, Spears is, I remember when I was done, you said you like Spears. I'm like, I love Spears too. Like he's my fourth running back. He is a first round grade. I had Achan. I always say, I had Achan closer to Gibbs than I had Gibbs to Bijan.
Same.
In hindsight, you would have it they're all pretty damn. I mean, Achan's looked.
He's looked unreal.
I loved Achan. I was probably.
He's just ripping off chunks.
You could argue I was the highest Achan supporter. No, in the whole Dynasty community.
You both loved him a lot.
We did.
You both loved him a lot.
So,
Rich was the loudest about it, though.
I was pretty loud about it.
He's loudest about many things.
So. So for me, Tajay here is really Tajay. I'm excited about. I'm really excited about Zamir if he gets an opportunity.
Yeah,
but again,
I think he's shown enough. Zamir has shown enough that he could be their guy.
Did you see?
And what's good enough is Pierce is probably coming back as head coach. That's a big.
That's what really helps him a lot.
Yeah, Zamir is so yoked.
He is. He's built like
huge.
A great guy.
He's a big kid, dude.
I didn't realize how much of a farm boy he is.
They used to call him Zeus.
Did you see that TikTok I sent you? Zamir White's press conference afterwards, dude. So humble and just,
is he?
Yeah, just
he's a good dude. He's a good
always
dude.
Was. We talked about his personality.
Kind of reminds me of Nick Chubb that way.
Yeah,
because
we've talked about so much. We liked him a lot on this show as well. The nerd herd probably has a lot of Zamir White shares. We thought he was dead in the water.
I was losing faith. Thing.
I was too. I was like, dang it, he's a Jag.
Yeah,
he's a Jag.
He just never got an opportunity. He would get two. You can't do anything.
Two carries like that. Especially him. Yes.
Exactly. Two carries. Give me a freaking break,
man. Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. But he did the most with his opportunity.
Sucks. At the very end, he swooped in and saved his dynasty value.
Because after 2 years, you really start giving up. So he got it in those last couple weeks. He snuck it in.
Yep.
So
and he catches passes pretty naturally as well, from what I've seen.
Competent.
You know what I mean?
I wouldn't call him a weapon.
No. But enough that you
checks
can,
the box.
I was gonna say, you can throw him the ball out of the backfield occasionally. Hey, oh crap, Zamir! You know what I mean? And he'll catch it and do something with it.
But besides that, going to 2024, there's nothing here that really, straightens my noodle.
Yeah, and it is something that you never know where some of these guys,
Right after you said I was going to say pop out, but
you just got to watch. Gotta watch what you say sometimes because it just doesn't.
Come on, Polo G, let's get it.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's move on to the next one. Big storyline a couple weeks ago. Obviously, we haven't been talking about it as much because they haven't made the playoffs and things like that. But the guy that was having a relatively good fantasy football season, relatively good actual season, gets benched in Russell Wilson. Ooh. What happens here? Because
this one's weird.
There's a lot of money on the table here. Are his days in Denver done? If so, where does he go? How does this all work? Because honestly, I have no idea how this all plays out.
Denver right now is projected to be the fourth lowest in cap space. They're at negative $19 million. We all know that this really doesn't mean anything, but they're going to have to clear some space somewhere, right?
Right.
And Russ has got a really weird contract, right?
Right.
They didn't play him at the end of the year because they didn't want to give him money that would basically, if he got injured, then he'd be guaranteed next year's salary, all sorts of crap. He counts $37 million against the cap next year. He's got like $85 million worth of dead money.
I was going to say, how do they get rid of him?
I have no idea why they didn't play him because they can't get rid of him. I mean, Sean Payton came out and said, yeah, like somebody asked him, is there a scenario where Russ is back next year? Yeah, because he's got $85 million worth of dead money. Yeah, there's a scenario. They need to trade him, who the hell is going to want this contract? It's going to be the second time Denver is going to have to give away a quarterback along with a draft pick to get a guy off their books like they did with Brock Osweiler, because that's the only way in my mind that it's going to happen.
But then they say by not playing him and just cut him now, they just eat the 37. Like it's just 37.
He'd be on the hook for $37 million.
For this year, that's it though. And then 2024, the 2025, then they're out. They're good.
They'd be still hit with a dead cap hit, though.
The dead cap hit of $85 million would accelerate next year. I mean,
next year they're screwed, though, but then they get out of it.
After 2024, they get out of it.
So I think what they're going to do here is just reset, eat it.
$85 million.
And be done for one.
Or $87 million or whatever.
Well, first of all, when your owner owns Walmart, $85 million is like me spending $8.50.
That's cap jail. Like, how the hell? You have to get under the cap. You have to find that cap relief somewhere. You're going to have to cut a shitload of other people.
You'll have to cut everybody. Like, everyone's gone. Yeah,
then it's gone. Your team is decimated.
It's rookies.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, your team still, if he stayed, there's no difference.
It's more or less $50 million that they're going to have to find on that roster without him if they cut him.
Well, they already
they're going to save the 37. They're going to get hit with the 85, and there's going to be around $50 million that they're going to have. 50 plus the 19. They're already past. They're projected to be past with him on the roster. They're going to be over the cap, $19 million. So that, dude, you're looking at like $70 million you got to find.
I think the move is you just reset and you eat it for 1 year and you're just done with it. Kind of like Tom Brady. You just eat it and then move on.
Dude, I guess.
Jared Stidham's your quarterback and you move on.
If you can afford Stidham.
Jake Brown and something along those lines.
You're going to be getting rid of everybody, dude. That is going to be a wholesale then.
I've been telling you guys forever, Russell Wilson's a turd.
The thing is, he wasn't a turd this season. He was a quarterback one before.
I'm talking about him personally. He's just a turd. Right. Like nobody.
He was a quarterback one before he got benched.
Which makes it a weird move. Like, what's going on behind the scenes?
What's weird is after the bye, after they just beat the Chiefs and come off a win streak, they're like, hey, we need you to take a pay cut. That was weird. And that's confirmed. Like,
well, they wanted him to restructure the contract to get rid of all this dead money so they could get
rid of him. Yeah. He knows what's up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, man.
It's a weird situation.
It's a mess.
It was bad when they re-signed him. They extended him when they didn't have to. Just
the whole thing. You know what? A mess.
It is a mess. Suck it, Denver. Suck it, Denver.
You ruined my childhood.
You totally tore my heart out when I was 7 and 8.
But it's okay. No, I feel bad. Listen, they won a couple of Super Bowls. This is my time. I wear a brown shirt every day until we lose. All my Denver fans are now like, dude, I hope that shirt's not on there next week. People get so mad when I say bad stuff about their football teams. Remember that guy got so mad about you when we talked about the Saints and their cap hell?
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Dude, by the way, they're projected to be $75.9 million over the cap. 75 points. It's getting worse year after year. They keep kicking this can down the road. And not only are they $76 million over the cap, their team's freaking old, dude.
But they have Jameis Winston.
And they're tied
the best
to Derek Carr now.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yep.
And they didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
In a crap division.
And like Taysom Hill's guaranteed like $18 million.
Dude, it's a mess.
They're going to do. They're just going to restructure all those contracts and push those down the line too.
That's what I said. I made notes on guys like Alvin Kamara. Like he's got a chance to go. Carr, they could actually get rid of Carr if they do him a post June 1st and save about $10 million, and they could get rid of Alvin Kamara and save about $10 million if he's a post June 1st cut. But you get rid of two of your best offensive weapons, and you're still $50 million away from being under the cap. I don't know how the hell they do this.
Yeah, Jared sent it over. It's even to get rid of the post June 1st release for Russell Wilson, they pay him $39 million in 2024.
Yeah.
35.424 dead cap, 49.625 dead cap. So that's 2 years of like
they would have to do it post June 1st to kind of spread it because there's no way you could take a $50 million.
But still, you screw yourself for 2 years then.
Yeah. You'd have to find like the Baker Mayfield quarterback for like.
I think might not even be able to find that. It's worse if they do it post June because they still have to pay him 37. They're just going to bite the bullet on the 85 if they do it before and save that 37.
Good Lord.
Just be done with it
for yep.
one third bad year. It's a weird situation. Dynasty wise, Russ Wilson, I mean, I'd rather have.
I'll tell you what, Arizona was playing. They're playing with the same fire.
Was Russell even
with that Kyler? Contract as well with Kyler? That one's a weird one as well. If for whatever reason they sour on him, they're going to be in the same hell that Denver's in right now. Some of these contracts got real funky, man.
I'd rather have Kyler Murray than Russell Wilson.
Why wouldn't they just try it?
Well, what happens if Call of Duty comes out, though, Rich?
With Russell Wilson?
A new Call of Duty comes out.
Because he doesn't play within the structure. I said this a year ago on the podcast. The reason why Seattle got rid of him, I've said this 20 times on the podcast, is Russ Wilson went to the management and everything. Again, remember when he first got Denver, he had his own office and stuff? He thinks he's above the team. He thinks he's better than he is. He thinks that him and Ciara are Jay-Z and Beyonce. And he kept going to the coaching staff saying, hey, I could be Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Let me do it. And they're like, no, play within the confines of the offense. Play how you play. We can win Super Bowls. We did. And he's like, no, I could do more. The problem is he plays outside the offense he's supposed to play in. Sean Payton's not having it. You know what I mean? He does what he wants. He thinks he can do it. He thinks he's better than he is. If he plays within the system he's supposed to play in, he's a competent quarterback. He can get the job done. He's obviously won a Super Bowl, taking a team to a Super Bowl. He's not an incompetent, like he's not an uncapable quarterback.
Incapable.
Yeah.
Incapable.
Uncapable.
He thinks he's better than he is and can play outside of structure.
When you hear his former teammates talk about him, it's weird.
Yeah, they don't love him.
Nobody likes him. He's my
Rich doesn't like him.
We know Rich doesn't like him. Favorite player of all time. He's the capital D douche.
He's a politician.
Yeah,
politicians are douches too. Sorry if you're a politician. You might not be the one, but most of you are.
60% of the time, it works every time.
So what's the next
thing? All right.
What's the next thing? Because we don't know what's going to happen with Russ. No one knows what's going to happen to Russ.
I'll tell you what.
Because they got some big-time dollar decisions to make.
There'll still be a capital D.
Yep.
All right, let's get one, maybe two more. We'll see.
Always right.
See how much more we can get. Let's go to this one here. Kyren Williams. Kyren Williams, we talked about him quite a bit in the last show.
This should be a quick one.
Is he a top five dynasty back?
I'm gonna give you my dynasty running backs how I have them ranked in order.
Okay.
Until I get to Kyren Williams.
Okay.
Is he top five? I have it: Bijan Robinson.
Okay.
Breece Hall. Christian McCaffrey.
Wait a minute. You got Breece above Christian McCaffrey?
Yes.
Age. Related.
I do too.
Age related, obviously.
Then Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, obviously it's age. Of course. Jameer Gibbs.
I'm gonna give Christian McCaffrey the rest of this.
We have identical lists. So
the
far.
Rest of this.
Jonathan
season.
Taylor.
Wait, who's above? Who was fourth?
All right, let me reset.
Hey, Matt, no, talk in. Listen, all
right? I'm doing my best running backs right
in
now.
Order. Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
Breece Hall.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey.
I just didn't hear four.
Jameer Gibbs.
Okay, Gibbs.
Jonathan Taylor.
Okay, I got those guys flip-flopped.
Devon Achane.
Uh-huh.
Kyren Williams.
We have the identical top seven.
Really?
Identical. I'm trying to figure out if I'm looking at the wrong list. We have the identical top seven.
Wow. That's my top seven.
Who'd you have at eight?
Saquon Barkley.
I would have to look in my list. I just wrote down my seven.
Yeah, I got Saquon above Kyren.
I have Saquon above Kyren.
I don't. I have Saquon a decent amount lower. I have ETN at 8.
I have Breece at 1.
But all that to be said, yeah,
I have ETN at 8. I have Saquon at 9.
Okay, that's where we finally differ.
Kenneth Walker at 10, Tajay Spears at 11, Josh Jacobs at 12, DeAndre Swift at 13, Whoa. James Cook at 14.
Spears at 11.
We finally differ.
I sure do, buddy. I sure do.
It's bold.
I have Kenneth Walker at 9. So we have the identical top 8. That's wild.
I should probably.
So anyway, my Kyren Williams is at running back 8 for me right
okay.
now. But he's creeping. You know what I mean? He keeps going up that list every time he's out there performing. He's got another shot here in the playoffs against Detroit to prove me wrong and go up even higher on this list. But I got Devon Achane right above him and then Saquon above him as well.
Okay.
But other than that, my list looks the same as your guys.
Very similar. Am I too low on Achane?
So I put top 5
every
because
time Achane is on the field, he's chunking off yards.
Always. Yeah,
every time.
He's up. I was saying to Jess, like,
it's redundant.
If Jonathan Taylor didn't look so good his last game, I'd have Achane ahead of him.
And you can make a strong argument. And honestly, this is probably the closest. I feel like I could almost put the top 7 in a bag, mix them up, and pull them out. And I would feel decent about it either way. Like, Bijan has all the upside in the world, but he just looked okay as a rookie. I don't think he looked as good as we hoped.
Usage.
Didn't look like Breece Hall.
I think we're all going to get to see what all these guys on the Atlanta Breece Hall's offense
catching
are.
10 balls finally. A game.
Breece Hall, yeah, his PPR value.
That's the question, Breece or Bijan.
And we didn't talk about this at all. I mean, we didn't talk about any of the firings, right? I mean,
no.
We kind of glanced over. Are we going
to? We might tomorrow.
Are you guys going to talk about that on the Nerd? Okay.
Nerd show?
Then I'll save that.
Yeah, we might.
We'll see you there.
Okay.
But yeah.
I love talking coaches. I might be there.
Gibbs, Taylor, HN. Like, Kyren, I don't feel like Kyren is far below any of those guys.
Yeah.
So okay. It is a really interesting.
So
group
here's
right
a
now.
Question: out of those 7, not your 7, because obviously flip Saquon and Kyren. So sure, you match ours right
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Out of those 7, because you're right, it is pretty close. Which one do you feel that like the lead like if you had it, the one that you got, you'd be like, I wish I had somebody else.
Saquon.
Out. No, you take Saquon
Saquon's
out.
Saquon's out. He said. So maybe that should be. Saquon.
Maybe Taylor?
That's who mine was. Age a little bit there.
He is finally getting a little bit older. He was always the young guy for a while, and now he's getting a little bit on the older side.
He's 25 years old and 0 months. So he's
exactly 25.
So young. Yeah.
But he's just the one that's been like the up and down guy. It's kind of like,
according to our player card,
banged up
injuries,
every single
injuries
year.
And the contract stuff.
Doesn't get better. He just got a contract, so it does kind of lock him up a little bit more. But like, I'm the same with you. Like, again, these are my top guys, so I want all of them. But like, if I had to get, if that's the one I got out of the bag, I'd be like, even though I have them ranked ahead of Achane and Kyren, I'm like, oh, I wish I got Achane.
Right.
That means you need to change that.
I do.
Yeah, you might might have to put him at 7.
That just means you need to change it.
But all that to say, it is really interesting to see how much Kyren's jumped, and he's 23 years old. He's still very, very young.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of good things, and who would have thunk it? But another guy that's just a great fit for what Sean McVay wants guys to do.
Next question.
We'll have to pull it from the phone now because the old iPad died on me.
The old iPad.
Pussyfoot iPad.
Let's do
CD Lamb now a tier tight end? A tier one tight end?
He's my dynasty wide receiver two overall. I bumped him this week ahead of Jamar Chase.
I have him at two.
It's consistency, dude. Jamar Chase still, again, any reason anybody wants to throw out at me and they want to give me all arguments, he still not finishes as a
Read
top
and
three
weep.
Guy.
Where's he at?
Yeah, me too.
Number two for me too.
All right, let's do this one last.
So it's easy.
What players do we worry most about their teams moving on from? I gave a couple examples. We don't have to use those ones.
I know, but I'm not worried about any of those guys.
You're not worried about any of those guys?
I'm not worried about Gino's hanging on by life support.
Okay, so that would mean I would be worried if I had him.
No, because I think if you have him, you understand what you have. I'm not worried. Like, you wouldn't be worried. You know what I put down? Joe Flacco.
Deshaun Watson, you mean then?
No, I'm worried he's going to leave my life. And I'm gonna, I swear to God, my worry is that Joe Flacco takes us far, Deshaun Watson's quarterback next year and doesn't look as good as Joe Flacco.
That's a legitimate concern.
So that worries, that legitimately worries me. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like
that, Rich, that's what's going to happen. What do you mean?
Pipe down.
Daniel Jones could be in this category.
Ooh, Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones could easily be another one.
No else is on there. Joe Mixon kind of makes that list for me. Like him Joe leaving Mixon the Bengals make like, makes list. Me like they're like, oh, just stay where you are, baby.
What about Fields? Keenan Allen or Mike Williams?
Either one
both
of those guys.
Both of those guys. The Chargers right now sitting around $35 million over the cap.
Oh, head coach.
New head coach. Both those guys are old. Both of them, they can save money.
Yeah, but Keenan wins no matter where. Keenan's just, he wins.
I feel like Keenan will be back.
Yeah, but no, even if he went somewhere else, though, like his route runner, like he wins with route runner.
They can save about $20 million by cutting either one, like each.
May they restructure.
On either one of those guys.
How old is he?
31. 30, he's 32. He'll be 32 next year, and Mike Williams will be 30.
He still look good when he's on the
still field. Crushing.
Yep. So I would expect crushing. One of those guys, if not both those guys. they can't move on from both of them.
They wanted to. That's why they drafted Quentin Johnston. But they can't.
And there's a lot of rumors that they're going to take like Malik Nabers at like.
They should.
They have like what, pick six? Like,
I think that would be good for Johnston. I think he needs to be a number two.
Or yeah, and then you have to pick that fifth year option, get that turd out of there.
I was going to say, is that bathroom code number two? Because that's what I see him as.
Man. Or they take Brock Bowers.
Maybe.
They could
take a good tight end.
They could use a tight end, for
but
sure.
But all of that, we don't necessarily have to get into all the specifics, but that's one of these things in the offseason that I like to start doing is what guys have a real danger in plummeting in value?
Yeah.
What guys really could just fall off the face of the earth because the team drafts somebody, trades for somebody, whatever. So it's just a helpful exercise. Jared and I will be talking about some of this kind of stuff when we do our off-season breakdowns
And some of this stuff.
Talking Dynasty.
And some of this stuff will be wrapped into the show about coaches. I mean, because obviously when coaches move, things change. You know, Ben Johnson, Detroit Lions, I mean, he's probably going to get a head coaching job, right?
I put that in my notes. Yeah. For the show is like, how worried are we about Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jared Goff if Ben Johnson leaves? That's in my
notes. He stayed last year because he knew he was going to get, if not better, like the same.
He'll get to choose whatever team he wants.
I also bumped Amon-Ra St. Brown in my rankings ahead of AJ Brown.
I can't blame you there. He's so consistent.
I have him at wide receiver 4.
Yep, I did it.
Over Garrett Wilson too.
I don't know if I'd be proud of that, but all right.
I mean, I have AJ Brown right after Amon-Ra St. Brown, so it's still tier, like upper tier. But I finally moved him up.
We should do those guys are
postseason
ranking show.
We could do that.
I wouldn't be a bad nerd. We're doing a startup.
Oh yeah,
in a couple weeks.
It'll tie in right with
basically. I think next week's show we're gonna do our dynasty two shows. We're gonna do dynasty buys and dynasty sells
for quarterbacks and running backs.
Yeah.
And then we'll do wide receivers and tight ends the
following week. And then we're going to do a mock Superflex mock draft startup with us four and kind of go through that.
That's the plan, Stans.
Maybe we'll do that before the show with the Nerd Herd.
Yeah, we'll get some Nerd Herd in the score. We'll do a startup mock draft and kind of talk about our picks, why we picked them, and go from there.
I like it.
Cool.
All right. That's it. Good to be back in the new year. Love these shows. If you enjoy the show, this is a perfect time for you to leave a rating review on iTunes or anywhere you leave the show. It really does help the show. When you leave rating reviews, it helps bump up the algorithm, whatnot. They all like that. It helps, you know, a lot of people are looking for Dynasty content to help them navigate the landscape. As the game grows, the user base grows.
Especially and now.
A lot of people need help. You know, like a lot of you that have been listening for a while, you're savvy players, right? Mm-hmm. But people that don't know how to navigate the rookie market, don't know what the value is for trades and whatnot. So you leaving us a rating review, one, I love to read those. It's the one thing I always checked, and I love to hear the feedback on them. Even you haters out there, it's okay.
All the haters.
You know? But I love reading those reviews. So take the time, leave us a rating review on that platform. We really do appreciate it. It really just helps us a lot. It's one simple thing you could do.
I mean, shout out to the guy that sent us a handwritten note, or not a handwritten note.
Sent us a card.
A holiday card.
Yeah, from Charles Evans.
Yeah.
Got a Christmas card. How about how much he appreciates the show? Yeah. So shout out.
That was like an old school review, right?
Which
like
is pretty cool.
Evans. Yeah, totally.
So thanks to Charles Evans for shouting that, sending that out. And to all the Nerd Herd, real excited for this 2024 and getting ahead of it right there and making this year even better than before. We're going to have some great rookie content. We're going to have tons of content getting up to that, talking Senior Bowl, talking the Combine, and then the summer shows. And then getting the 2024 season will be here before we know it. And there's only one thing to do, and that's go win some ships. See you next week.
Adios.